We use a lot of metaphors and pictures in our language, don't we? We talk about being as brave as a lion, or as fierce as a tiger, as quiet as a mouse, as strong as an ox, as slow as a tortoise, and so on. I'm not quite sure what we talk about when we think about sheep. As daft as a sheep, perhaps? We often think it anyway. Actually, sheep aren't that daft. They can generally look after themselves very well. And when sheep are trained to the hillside, when young lambs are put out on the hillside, they're hefted to it, and they stay on that side of the hill. They don't wander over into the next valley. But they do get lost. They do need protection from predators. And they do need feeding when conditions are harsh, when there's snow on the fields or the hills, or when it's dry and dusty in Palestine in the summer. If sheep are to survive successfully, they do need tending and caring for in a hostile environment. And I guess that's one of the reasons why Jesus described his people as his sheep and himself as their shepherd. When Jesus talks about this in Matthew's Gospel, he would be bringing up familiar images from the Old Testament. Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd, the one who cares for his people, the one who brings them good times, but who also strengthens them through the hard times. And both Ezekiel and Jeremiah describe Israel's leaders as the shepherds of Israel under God. So when in John chapter 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd, I know my own, and my own know me. I lay down my life for my sheep. There, he's claiming to be the perfect leader of Israel, the good shepherd, the one who doesn't fail his sheep, but the one who owns them, protects them, and gives himself for them. The one who succeeds in looking after the flock when all the others have failed. Let's hold that thought. We'll come back to that in a moment. In tonight's passage, Matthew chapter 9, helpful if you've got it in front of you, page 982. We're going to start there, go somewhere else, and then come back. So start with 982. Matthew says, Jesus saw the crowds, and he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew is saying, this is the reality in Israel today. This is the state of the flock as Jesus sees them. His sheep need help. And they need it now. And Matthew says, we, all of you, all my readers, have to be part of providing that help. But just to set the context of these verses, just need to take half a step back. Because the verses we've read this evening, chapter 9:35 to 10:1, they form a sort of pause in Matthew's narrative. Chapter 4 and verse 23 says this. He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. Chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and affliction. Spot the similarity? Actually, it's quite difficult to spot the differences. Matthew bookends verses 5, 6, 7, 8 and 9 with these two verses, summarising what Jesus is doing and what he's telling us about Jesus in those chapters. Chapters 5 to 7 are Jesus teaching, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Chapters 8 and 9, Jesus is healing every disease and affliction. So we have this section of teaching and of healing, bookended by those two verses, almost identical, which tell us what Jesus did in his ministry. And what Matthew's telling us is that those verses summarize so much of what Jesus did in his 3 years ministry on earth. And verses 9:35 to 10:1 then form the introduction to the next stage, the response to Jesus' work of teaching and healing. His disciples then go out to proclaim the gospel and to heal people. They take Jesus' work out into the much broader area. They go beyond what Jesus could do because he was only one person. He sends them out to be his representatives across the nation. So in chapters 5 to 9, Matthew is saying, this is Jesus, this is what he taught, this is what he did. And chapter 9, verse 36 explains, this is why he taught what he taught and why he did what he did. He taught what he taught and he did what he did because he saw the crowds and he had compassion on them. He saw their needs and he was deeply moved. The Greek word is gut-wrenching compassion. His bowels were twisted, is the sort of literal meaning of the word. He saw the people. He saw their need. And his heart was torn. He saw their needs because their leaders had failed them. They had no spiritual guidance or leadership, no help or support in their daily lives. Only a dry religiosity with laws to obey or to break. A dry mold which Jesus himself was breaking day by day in his ministry. You turn back to Ezekiel chapter 34. You find that on page 873. And we see some of the background to what Jesus is saying. Ezekiel 34 on page 873. Ezekiel is prophesying against the leaders of Israel in his time. Leaders who were looking after themselves and not the sheep. Verses 2 and 3. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? They've been looking after themselves, not looking after the sheep. And there's a catalogue of failures in verse 4. The weak you haven't strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. They failed their sheep. The ones that were entrusted to their care, they have failed in so many ways. And what was the result? Verse 5, the sheep were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for the wild beasts. The shepherds were self-centered, focused on themselves, only interested in themselves, and the sheep were scattered because there was no one to look after them. Spiritually, they were lost. They wandered all over the place. We see it across Israel's history. If following Yahweh didn't help them, if the spiritual leaders of Israel weren't looking after them, then they looked to other religions. And it's true all the time, isn't it? Where leaders fail, people look elsewhere for guidance and help. Verse 8, my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd. And because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and not fed my sheep. Therefore, says the Lord God, I am against the shepherds. Isn't that a picture of our nation today? The church has failed the people. It hasn't met their needs. It hasn't strengthened the weak, or healed the sick, or bound up the injured, brought back the strayed, or sought the lost. Above all, the church hasn't led people to the God who loves them, who cares for them, and who wants to be their shepherd. So understandably, people have wandered off and followed all sorts of beliefs. It was G.K. Chesterton who said, when people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything. If people don't believe in God, they'll believe in anything. But what does God do when he sees this dreadful state of his people? Verse 11 of Ezekiel chapter 34. Behold, I myself will search out my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so I will seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all the places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. Going on, verse 12, I will rescue them. Verse 13, I will feed them. Verse 14, I will feed them on good pasture. I myself will be the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 15. Verse 16, I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them in justice. God promises to be the good shepherd, the one who does everything that the appointed leaders failed to do. So when Jesus sees the crowds and he describes them as sheep without a shepherd, the harassed and helpless, and his heart goes out to them, he says, this is why I came, to be the good shepherd, to fulfill those promises made in Ezekiel chapter 34, to search, to rescue, to feed, and to heal my people. So in Matthew chapter 5 to 7, we see him feeding his people with his word. In chapters 8 and 9, he heals the people. And in chapters 10 and 11, we see the great search and rescue operation beginning. The fulfillment of all those promises from Ezekiel chapter 4. And right at the start of the search and rescue operation, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Pray, he says to his disciples, But stage one is I'm sending you. We have to remember that in the original text of the Bible, there are no chapter divisions. Chapter 10, verse 1 flows straight on from 9:38. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And he called his 12 disciples and sent them out. The disciples were the answer to their own prayer. They have authority to heal the sick, to bind up the injured, and to strengthen the weak, to bring the care and compassion that Jesus brought, to share his mission. And what does this say to us? Well, the mission, reason for mission is clear, isn't it? The church corporately has failed. We failed the people of Duffield and Little Eaton, the people of Derby, the people of the United Kingdom, the people of the nations across the world. People are looking for spiritual help and guidance. They're looking for physical care and compassion. Care, help, strength, support that the church should have been providing and hasn't. And we can only put things right when we share Jesus' care and compassion and share his mission of taking him to our friends and our neighbours. So just as the disciples were told to pray for labourers in the harvest, but actually to be part of the answer to that prayer, so his call to go follows his call to pray. Chapter 10 looks at mission strategy in more detail, and that'll be in the coming weeks. But just a few thoughts this evening. And in particular, mission is Jesus-shaped. It is us acting as his body on earth, acting as his people, doing what he did, empowered by his Spirit and with his authority, taking his compassion. If we don't see the world as he saw it, if we don't see people as he saw them, if we don't see their needs as he saw and understood them, if we're not moved as he was, then we're not ready to start mission. But that's what he calls us to do. To see with his eyes, to feel with his heart, so that we can love people as he loved them, so that we can reach out to our friends and neighbours with his love. Chapter 10 reminds us that mission is demanding. The 12 were sent out with Jesus' authority, but with no money, verses 9 and 10. They were reminded that mission can be frustrating. They were warned that they might get no response in verse 14 of chapter 10. Verses 16 to 20, Jesus says, "You may meet opposition and hostility." Mission is challenging and it's demanding. Jesus challenges us to consider how we spend our money, how we cope with apparent failure, and how we stand up to opposition and hostility. But he tells us we are doing it because we are doing it with him, for him, and with his authority and power. because mission is about following Jesus. It's about seeing with his eyes, caring with his compassion, telling people that he is the good shepherd who laid down his life for his sheep. He loved us so much that he died for us, to give us direction and hope, to give us a purpose in sharing his love, and to give us confidence that one day we will live with him. He brought healing from the guilt of sin. He brought strength to those who feel that they're worthless or useless. He brought hope to those who feel that life is pointless. And he brings comfort to those who feel lonely or lost. As the Good Shepherd, he cares for our needs. And we have to take that care to those around us. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Let's pray for God to send out laborers into the harvest. And that may be us. We have to learn to care with his care and compassion so that we can go as he went. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you cared so much that you died on the cross for us, because that was the only way to bring us back to you, to bring us healing and renewal. Help us to know how we can share in your mission. Give us eyes to see as you saw. Give us hearts torn as yours was torn when you saw the needs of the world. And give us your strength and your power to go as you went, to seek and to rescue, to bind up the injured, to strengthen the weak, to bring healing to all who need it. For we ask it in your name. Amen.